God is so good. God is so good. I never, ever want to put God in a box. My heart's desire as a pastor is to never get over into religion, never get over into works and having to be a certain way, do a certain thing. And I'll tell you, that stuff can creep in. And Jesus paid the price so we don't have to be religious people. We don't have to be religious. We have relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Get ready. Get ready, church. What the Lord gave me today is probably one of the strongest things He's spoken to me in quite a while. And I don't mean He doesn't speak to me, but there's a strong essence. There's a strong presence on what He spoke to me today to share. And it's the power of God. And when I think about it, talk about it, it makes me want to weep. Because I've realized that through God's power, I can do all things. I conquered the enemy. I've conquered sickness and disease. All these things. I think about my family. Through the power of God, my daughter conquered a stroke. Through the power of God, my wife conquered lupus. Everything's in His power. I say everything. There's a power of darkness. But everything we give to God and put under the blood and allow His power to flow through, it brings healing, it brings freedom, it brings provision, it brings blessing. Yeah. And I look at my life, and I want you to look at your life. Because that's the only thing that matters is when you look at your life. No one else can tell you what you're going through. No one else can make your life for you. You have to look within yourself and allow God's power to touch and transform your life. And it's going to be hard for me to minister today because when I get focused on God's power, it's so strong it makes me want to weep because everything comes through His power. Every single thing. And I know you can take scriptures and you can pull them different ways and make them work for you and say and believe a certain way, but it's God's power that brings the change. You say, oh, well, it's love. It's all about God's love. Yes, it is about God's love, but it's the power of God that made love available. You say, well, it's faith. It's got to be only faith. No, it's not only faith. Faith works by love. Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. God's power delivered us and got us saved. God's power is working in us, saving us daily, protecting us daily. I'm not throwing away the other things. All I'm saying here today is I see that God's hand and God's power has to be in everything I do. Literally, I have to surrender my life, my own power, and allow God's power to work. And the moment I do that is the moment that the presence of God comes and delivers me from every work of darkness, every foul spirit, everything that this world offers that holds me back. God's power and His presence delivers me from it. This is so vital to me. This is so vital to you, whether you know it or not. Let me read that again. For I am not ashamed. I am not in shame at all about what the gospel represents because it's the power. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus has to be your focal point. It has to be the center of your life. The very inward working, Jesus has to be in the center of your heart to allow the power to work through you. Has to. There's no other way. It's the power of God unto being saved. So it's God's power that enters you, that delivers you. We hear the testimony of Lauren's dad. Just the testimony of that. That is the power of God that showed up, that he received and got set free. Healing entered my wife's body. That's the power of God. What is power? Power is strength, ability, and might. And there's different definitions of power throughout the Bible, because some power is authority, but that's still ability, strength, and might to get something to change or to move something. That's what authority is, having power over something else. Amen. As a parent, I have authority over my children till they get to the age where they move out. Then I don't have authority anymore. But when they live in my house, I have authority. There's an element of power with that. We have authority over the enemy. That means we have power over the works of darkness. Power. Amen. Power is in you. Tangible power, to that when you speak Jesus' name, everything falls. That's the power in you by receiving Jesus. Can you start grasping and grabbing a hold of what this really represents? That's why I can't be ashamed. That's why I preach and I teach, because there's power in the Word of God that deliver any person from anything that the enemy has power over them. See, there's power out there, but there's no power like the Most High. There's no power like the Most High. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say it better, amen? Amen? Amen. There's no power like the Most High God. And it goes on, and it says here, for it is the power of God unto salvation for who? Everyone. Power is available to everyone. Every single one of you sitting here, every single person online, there's power available to you. Let me put it to you this way to make it a little easier. The power of God is like oxygen in the air. It's available to everybody. Every single person has availability to receive oxygen. But what do they need to do? You have to breathe it in. You have to take it in. When you take in the power of God, darkness in every evil spirit has to leave. Amen. When you breathe out, what you don't need goes out. And when you breathe in, you receive what your body has need of. When you breathe in, when you take in the power of God, the impurities of this world exit your body, exit your thoughts. Exit, the strongholds have to be removed when you breathe in the power of God. When you receive Jesus, what leaves? Darkness. Hell leaves your body when heaven enters. That's the power of God I'm talking about. To strengthen you, to enable you, to empower you to live and be and enjoy life. When you breathe in the power of God concerning your marriage, it allows the lies of the enemy to be removed. It exposes the negativity. It exposes the negative thoughts. That's the power of God I'm talking about. The power of God has the ability to interject and interact with every fiber of who you are. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially. The power of God has the ability to change that. What does the power do? Miraculous power. Miraculous power can enter your body and change a situation. That's what God does. God recreates your life to be like His. So when you breathe in, when you take in the power of God, the nastiness of life leaves. And I'm going to show you how this operates through the Scripture. And let me just keep going here. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. This is Romans 1. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The power of God allows the righteousness of God to enter in. You become righteous when Jesus enters your body. You are made righteous. So as much as you are made in the image and the likeness of God and you receive His Son, when you receive Jesus, you also receive healing. Because that word salvation there is saved. That means delivered. Amen. We need to be delivered from sickness and disease. Cancer, gone in Jesus' name. The power of God. You're going to see something here. The church does not understand the power of God. Because when you understand the power of God, you will walk and leap and praise God. You'll share the love of Jesus with people. You'll lay hands on people. You will not be concerned, because it's not your power. It's God's power working through you. And when you yield to it and take it in, you become empowered by the all-powerful one to do what he's telling you to do. But anytime there's fear, anytime there's hold back, it's because you lack power. And people will get mad at me for saying this, but that's the truth of the matter. And you can, if you've been on any type of farm or dealt with anything mechanical whatsoever, it takes power to make it work. For instance, my lawnmower, great lawnmower, the old one I had, it's gone now. It's not so great for me now. But anyway, when I had it, one of the rods bent, so it was running on one cylinder instead of two. You couldn't see it from the outside that there was a problem. It started up, it even ran. But once it hit resistance, there was something going on that wasn't working right. Once I turned the mower on, the blades on, instantly, the engine went, it lacked power. It could not perform what it was meant to perform till it got fixed. Oh, Jesus, fix me so I can perform the miracles that you want me to perform, so I can live the way you want me to live. See, people run on one cylinder and they think everything's good, and they can reveal that to everybody. Everybody around, oh, my life's good. Everything's good. But once resistance comes, once pressure comes, once the enemy brings a thought across your path, all of a sudden you don't feel like you're good enough or able enough to handle that situation. What do you need? You need the power of God. The power of God defeated that situation. So you need to take in the what is needed to win the battle, which is Jesus Christ. No, but none of us are good at, no, not one is good enough to enter the kingdom of God. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, don't we? Every single one of us. But when we receive him, we not only get freedom on the inside, we get a ticket to heaven. That's the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God until salvation. Say power. Say it like you mean it.
Power.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You have to get it on the inside of you so you can speak it on the outside. Amen. Because if there's not enough power in you, you won't have enough to give anybody else. Amen. And it's not just about everybody else. It's about you as well. But there's more than enough power. There's more than enough power from heaven to handle all your situations. Amen. So this word power started in me in like 2000, I guess it was 2003 when I received the Lord. Some people know the exact day and all. I don't know the exact day. I know it was a fall time. I know it was in the Nazarene church. I know it was in a service on a Sunday morning when I gave my heart to the Lord. There's details I know, but I don't know all the little details. What I do know is my life was transformed from that day forward. What I do know is the power and the presence of God entered my life, took out my stony heart, and gave me a heart of flesh where I knew that I was saved. I knew that I was born again. That's the power that transformed my life at salvation. But that wasn't the end of what God was doing. Hear me, church. You don't just receive a shot of power. You don't just give your car gas one time and expect it to run for 200,000 miles on one tank. No, it needs the fuel to keep the fire burning. Amen. And each of you need that power on the inside of you. And I want to share with you, because power not only transforms you, it sustains you. It keeps you going. It keeps you going. It carries me. It's carried me through life. It's carried me through ministry. It's carried me with marriage, good, bad, and indifferent. All the things that life offers, it's the power of God that keeps me stable enough to keep moving forward. Without it, you get pushed certain directions. And I'm telling you right now, I'm sick and tired of people being pushed by things that aren't of God. That's the enemy pushing you. Money issues pushes people. It pushes you into not doing what you desire to do. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You can't do what you want to do because you don't have what you need to get to go do it. Marriages, families, with dysfunction in family, the power of God is more than enough to heal that thing, to change that situation. And God has made it available for all of us. All of us. People that are struggling with sickness and disease, it's God's power. When God's power and presence shows up, healing comes. Jesus came to set the captives free. Anything that's captive, Jesus came to free you from it. Anything. You can make a list. What is keeping me captive? Oh, well, I don't like speaking in front of people. I guarantee you the power of God touches you. I'm a living testimony. I don't shut up now. I love to preach now. I love to talk to people. I could be here all day. And you'd be like, oh, please no, Pastor. But I'm telling you, the power of God, when it touches your life, it transforms you. It changes you. It gives you a boldness and a fire on the inside that can't stop. You don't want it to stop burning, and you're thinking, this is too much. Oh, he's called me into ministry. Oh, he wants me to be a pastor. I don't know about this. No, it's the power of God. It's literally the anointing of God that causes me to do what I do. And it allows, and it transcends all aspects of my life. Every single area of my life. So it says in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when you receive the good news, you become justified. And from that moment on, as you receive the good news, you continue to walk in the righteousness of God. And there's nothing the enemy wants more than you to step out and believe some kind of lie that he's portrayed to you to stay out of God's will for your life and to not walk by faith and not continue on with what God wants for your life. Can you see where this is coming from? Power is everything. Power is everything. If you don't have power, you really don't have anything. Till power comes upon you, you don't move. Power causes movement. Anybody take physics? You don't even need to take physics. Some people have taken physics. I have not taken physics, but I know enough to know everything has to have a source of power, or there has to be gravity or something to cause something to start moving. Nothing moves on its own. Something has to be a part of it. So if you're not moving for God, you're lacking the power of God. Don't all throw the tomatoes at once. I'm just sharing with you. I am a realistic minister. I take the Bible for what it says. Amen. So if things aren't moving in the direction I want, I need to change the power source. I need to put my life in neutral, and I need to readjust, turn the wheel, and start operating differently to get to the desired place. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? If we're going in a wrong direction, you need to stop, repent, turn, and go the other way. And the power of God will help you do that. Jesus, I was going in a direction which in the world looked fine as a farmer. That's what I felt to do. I went to college to do it, but the Lord had another plan. And I had to do something different about it because the presence and the power of God came on me one day while I was combining corn of all places, by myself in the middle of 100-some acre field, and the Lord spoke to me, and that power, his power came upon me, and I could not pull away from it. There was no way to say, I don't know what that was. I could barely drive home under the power of God. And when I got home, I like made my carpet wet with tears. I could not deny the power of God. I could not run from it. I could not just say, well, I'm just having a weak day. This is just a weak time I'm going through. There was no struggle in it. There was perfect peace in it, but it was all power. Amen. That's God. And I could not pull away. No matter what I thought in my head, I could not pull away from that power that came upon my body in my life. And it gave me the gift of faith to step out and say, you know what? I don't understand any of this, but we're going to do it. Because the power of God was so real. And that's my desire for the church. And that's my desire for you. And guess what? It's God's desire too. For his presence and his power to be so strong in your life, you don't have to guess on which way to go. I don't have 15 options of what I want to do. I got one. And it's to serve God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and all my body. That's the only option I have now. I don't have a plan B. There is no plan B with God. It's doing what God wants you to do and allowing his power to flow through you. Every one of you. all around the world that are listening. There's a power that is available for you that there's perfect peace in it to just walk with the Lord, talk with the Lord, live by faith. Amen. The love of God, the power of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4. I'm going to share different scenarios, but different subjects concerning the power. And this first one is deliverance. Deuteronomy 4, 37 through 40. God's going to free you today. You're going to receive power, and you're going to walk in victory. Everybody say this after me. I got the power. Amen. There was a song about that, but I don't think it's necessarily a scriptural song. But you can use words, and words have power. Amen. God's word has power. So when you quote it and when you speak it, it starts entering and starts working on your behalf. What do you think? There's power in prayer. Why is there power in prayer? When you pray the word, power comes, and all of a sudden that word starts activating and working in your life. That's the power of prayer. There's power in worship and praise. When you praise God with all your heart, power comes upon you and you become free. You don't care if your neighbor's singing off key or not. You're in the presence of God. You're under His power. And the worries of life do not faze you one bit. That's the power of God. And you can live a life where you have a zero care. You say, well, that's terrible. You got to care for other people. No, the love of God causes you to serve that person and love that person. You care more for them under the power of God than you cared in the world. Amen, because you care about their salvation. You care about their eternity. You care about their well-being in the natural as well. But surface care, worldly care, just is about your needs. It's not about your future at all. It's just about the moment, the now. Let's get you better. That's all well and good. But when the power of God comes on you, there's a deeper working that you desire in people's lives. As a pastor, totally different view about people under the power of God than before I became a pastor. As a shepherd, different. Totally different. You care about the inner workings of people and about them being fulfilled and desiring God and living for God and serving the Lord and fulfilling everything God has. That's the power of God. Did you make it to Deuteronomy 4 yet? Amen. Let me get there. Deuteronomy 4, verse 37. It's talking about Moses. And it says, "And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants." Hold on. Yeah, I'm on it. "Their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence and with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day." Verse 39, "Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commands, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which your Lord God is giving you for all times." Amen. That word was written to Moses and the Israelites, but it's also written to you. The presence of God, great, the hand of God with power delivered them out of Egypt, delivered them out of bondage, delivered them out of slavery, delivered them over someone that was had full control of them in the natural, Pharaoh. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Because I care, but I don't care. The government is a present-day Pharaoh. It's real quiet, and I expected that. May get kicked off of Facebook. It doesn't matter. The government is a present-day Pharaoh. They want control. They want to control your money. They want to control your time. They want to keep you suppressed. They want to put you into fear. Everything you read about, taxes, all of it, All of it. It's a present-day Pharaoh. The healthcare system, present-day Pharaoh. Who's controlling the healthcare system? The government. Everything they touch, it's like Pharaoh. I will put them in a place where they must rely on me, and they have no other option. What do you think socialism is? What do you think communism is? It's Pharaoh. It's just how Pharaoh operated. They have no ability to function on their own. We will take their ability and small business to operate because we'll take control of them. We'll take their guns away to take control of them. Evangelist Jonathan said it last week. You take Hitler, you take Stalin, you take all these people. What do? They took guns away so they could control. The government is a present-day Pharaoh. And I know people get mad about that and like, don't talk about it. You can't talk. If you don't hear about it from the pulpit, where are you going to hear about it? If you don't hear the truth from the pulpit, if I say I'm a pastor and I can't shepherd you and be honest with you about things, where are you going to hear it from? You're not. And the church does not need to be underneath Pharaoh. They got delivered from it. Amen. We're not under this system. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. I'm not giving you a list of what you need to do and what part your life should be with the government and whether you should have health care. I'm not getting it. That's between you and the Lord. I'm just sharing with you the overarching truth of the matter. The government is not for you. It's not for you. They are not. They are for themselves. Self-seeking. What do they do? I'm not trying to be political. I'm just being honest with you. You read about how Egypt operated. They controlled them. They were slaves to them. They literally did whatever Pharaoh said to do. They'll give them a little ration. They'll give them a little bit. They'll keep you alive enough that you can still be used for them. He wanted to build his pyramids. He wanted to build his kingdom. But he had to keep the people healthy enough that he could build what he wanted to build. So they won't take everything away from you. They'll give you just enough to keep you going. They'll give you just enough to get your vote. Come on. The power of God will deliver you from that evil, perverse generation that is being portrayed on us. And the church needs to be honest about it. We need to be real about this stuff. We can't just say, well, we're just going to pray and it'll get better. When the people rise up, that's when their freedom came. The deliverance wasn't just God and Moses. The people had to make a decision that they were going to follow Moses. You can't get delivered from something just going like this and doing nothing about it. Prayer has to be activated. Amen. Faith without works is dead. So we can say all day long, oh, the government, I can't stand what they're doing. You better be voting. And people say, well, it's all rigged. Well, guess what? I guarantee you your vote won't count if you don't vote. How dumb can you be? You should go vote. Put your one in there. Amen. Put your one in there, even if they steal it or they bring up 15 dead people against you. Whatever. Put yours in there. Do something. Do something about it. You say, I can't believe pastors preaching. I can't either. But when the power of God comes on you and you have a passion for people to get set free, you got to talk about this stuff. You got to be real about life. You can't just blow it under the rug and hope it blows past. Pharaoh isn't just going to say nothing. The reason he had to do it is because the power of God was on Moses. And when Moses says, let my people go, he had to do it because God was on Moses' side. God is on your side. God is on your side. You are a present day Moses where you can say, my family and my life are free in Jesus' name. I am not bound by anyone. Don't be subject to Pharaoh. Amen. God has more than enough for you. And I know many Christians step out, and it's hard when they first step out, and they everything comes against them. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites. And what did they do? They murmured and complained, and then they wanted to go right back into bondage. But the Lord delivered them out. The Lord has delivered each and every one of you that know Jesus Christ. If you don't know him online, accept him. Amen. Because he will deliver you. That's the power of God. This is just one little portion of what God has done for his people. Deliverance. He'll deliver you from any work of the enemy. Or people that are being used by the enemy. The Holy Ghost in power will give you discernment to say, I am not linking up with that person because they're of their father, the devil. He'll share that with you. But Jesus even said that. He told Peter, get behind me, Satan. He was being moved by an unclean spirit. Amen. And people are moved by that stuff. And you need discernment to say, hey, if I'm doing a business, we're going to do it on the principles of God. We're not going to link up with, just because you have money doesn't mean I'm going to go with you. Because your money may be a little stinky. It may be a little dirty. Right? Hey, that's why there's some things in the government. I don't need to link up with that. That's not, it's fake money anyway. Anyway, move on. So the two things that happened for deliverance that the power of God did is he broke the power of sin. Amen. He broke the power of sin. And what else happened? He gave them the power to live in the land. Once they figured out that they could live in the land, took them 40 years to figure that out. You don't have to wait 40 years to get your land, to get your freedom. But notice something here with deliverance. I want you to notice something. The power of God has the ability to break off sin and darkness. Even what we deal with today, God has the power to. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it is God that you need to follow. And when you follow God and allow his power to work, the miracle, the sign, the wonder, something changes out of your control, out of your ability. See, it's not your power, it's God's power. And if we can release of our own power, our own will, our own way, and trust him, then his power. The Israelites could not get out of Egypt on their own. There's no way in the natural they would get out of Egypt. But with God, all things are possible. And when God showed up, Pharaoh had to. When God sent plagues, Pharaoh's like, get them out of here. They're destroying what's going on here. I'd rather them be out of here than be here and we try to figure this out. He could not say no. When God is on your side, man can't say no. Man can't say no. So number one, deliverance. The power to deliver. Number two, even in the financial realm, and that's why I didn't do an offering in the beginning, Deuteronomy 8, 18. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he, the Lord, who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So what is it saying here in Deuteronomy? He who gives who power? You. You power. He didn't say God's going to do everything for you. God's going to pay all your bills. God's going to send money down on doves from heaven and just kind of float on top of your mailbox. Doesn't say. He gives you power. So power is available to you to get wealth. Amen. Very simple statement. But we mess it up. We mess it up. Why? Some people say that word wealth there is spiritual. Well, I say you need to read your Bible a little more. I'm just going to read this. Verse 11, same chapter. Keeping things in context. Everybody say context. Very, very vital when you read Scripture to keep it in context. So you cannot say this is just spiritual. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, you don't have to worry about eating in heaven. That's talking about natural eating. Okay? Here we go. And are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. You're not building your house in heaven. Jesus is building your house in heaven. It's talking about today, present time. All right. I'm glad we're still on the same page. Verse 13, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, amen, some of you have sheep, some have cows, some have goats, some have a lot of different things, but they multiply, amen. That's here on the earth, natural things. And your silver and your gold are multiplied. This isn't in heaven because you can't take anything to heaven. Hey, all right? Yeah. It's talking about natural. Gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. I think there's something about multiplication in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. But God, let me get back to 18 because that's the key I want you to see here. God has given you the ability, power, might, strength to get wealth. The number one, many people don't that are super spiritual may not agree with this, but when you read scripture, the number one way that God gets wealth to you is by your hand, by you working. That's the avenue God uses. Going to work, putting your hand to something, and God brings wealth your way. Amen. Or he may give you a business idea that you start up, you function, you run a restaurant, whatever it may be. And God brings funds into the kingdom based off of you, the power and the wisdom he's given you to do. And the reason I bring that up is we're coming against a society and a world that doesn't want to work. And that's the number one way God blesses you is by your hand, by putting your hand to something. God will bless what you put your hand to. Just write these scriptures down. Deuteronomy 28:8. The Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord God is giving you. So wherever you live, wherever you dwell, put your hand to something. Watch what the Lord can do. Amen. Very simple concept. Many people over-spiritualize things. Go get a job. If you can physically work, you should work. And watch what the Lord does. It's not just working for somebody. What I mean by this is you must be putting your hand to something. All right? I don't mean everybody in the church should be a ditch digger. I don't mean physically putting your hand. I mean doing something. Amen. Doing something for God. It may be painting. It may be welding. It may be carpentry. It may be any type of business. Any type. Put your hand to something. Do not be lazy. Do not be slack. Here's another scripture. Proverbs 10:4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. That's not right to say. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. God will make you wealthy, will bring things into your life by you putting your hand to something. Number one way God blesses people, they put their hand to something. Amen. It may be a farm. You may be a farmer. Putting your hand to something. The Lord will bless. When you serve the Lord and do the Lord's work and you have a business, your business will thrive when other businesses don't because God is for you, not against you. He'll bless your business. Or if you're working for someone, amen, he'll bless that company because you're there. Even if the leader is not a man or woman of God, because you're there, it has to prosper because you are there. That's the power of God. The power of God. God will not leave you by yourself. He won't send you in places. It may look rough, but you will prosper where you put your hand. As long as you give your life to God. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This is so easy to understand that if you're physically able, you should be doing something. Or if you're mentally able, you should be doing something. Amen. Go speak with someone. Go sit with someone. Go pray with someone. You're putting your hand to something. It's not just talking about your physical hand. Amen. It's talking about your life. The time. Redeem the time. And when you do that, God's power will be upon it. See, God's power works through people. God's power, that scripture in Deuteronomy 8:18, for he gives you the power to get wealth. God uses people to get wealth to you. It doesn't come from God. God uses people God uses people. It could be your work. Amen. It could be a place of business. Let's move on from that. Matthew 9, verse 6 through 8. We're talking about God's power and how it operates through us. Matthew 9, I want to talk to you a little bit about salvation and healing. Matthew 9, 6 through 8. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed from the house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to them. Power was given to them, and there's power available to forgive sin. Notice what it said in verse 6. There is power to forgive sin. It doesn't say anything about the level of sin. It doesn't say how long you've been in sin. The world wants to put levels of sin. Jesus came to deliver you from sin. So you don't have to worry about how your neighbor, how long they've been sinning, or what somebody... God has the power. That's why you are able to forgive people and love your enemy, because the power of God will deliver their sin. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's power available to remove sin. Sin is missing the mark. Any area that the mark is missed, there's power to forgive that sin. So it doesn't matter how bad you miss the mark. Some people in man's eyes have missed the mark tremendously. The robber on the cross, murderers. People have levels to sin. But when Jesus came, the power of sin is broken. Amen. The power of sin is broken. Because, yes, there's power in sin, but it's not as powerful as the power of God. That's authority. When the power or the authority of Jesus Christ comes in someone's life, sin has to go as far as the east is from the west. Darkness has to flee in Jesus' name. When you receive that, there's nothing in this world that should hold you back. Don't be playing with your mind and allowing thoughts to come. Just say, no, that's not the truth. I have the power of God on the inside of me. I have the light. There's no darkness in me. Amen. If there's sickness in your body, if there's pain in your body, no. No, I don't. No, no, it has to go. Healing, come in Jesus' name. That's the power of God. I'm going to give you more scriptures so you know that I'm just not full of hot air. So there's truth that you can stand on, the Word of God. Darkness, demons have to go. Nothing has the power over God. Luke 5, verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to them who were paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. So he delivered them from the sin and he delivered them from the sickness, all in the same verse. How good is God? When God shows up, power is released. Power is released. I want you to ask yourself, is there areas that I am hindered in my life? That I need God's power. Because at the end of the service, you're going to receive what you desire. Amen. In Jesus' name. Because God is not a liar. He's not a liar. And he's going to deliver you from any foul thing that's hindering you in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? Because I'm trusting and I'm believing in a higher power than my own. If you don't know it, I can't even heal a flea. There's zero power in me to change anything spiritual. The physical realm cannot change the spiritual realm. But the spiritual realm can change and transform the natural realm. Remember that. Because your natural realm is going to change in Jesus' name today. By the power of God. Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So what was present? The power. Power's present all the time. It's like oxygen, remember? You don't go outside from the church and be like, oh, the oxygen short out here. We got to run back in the church. There's more oxygen in the church. See, that's when you realize that God is everywhere all the time, you need to realize something, church. The anointing of God is just as much powerful out there or at your job as it is right here. You say, well, you're anointed, Pastor. I'm not, just go with me. Yeah, you're anointed. There's such an anointing in the church. Guess what? That power lives in you. Yeah. That power, the same power that raised Christ, I'm going to talk about it later, lives in you. Amen. So you don't have to run certain places and say, I need more oxygen. Oxygen's everywhere. The power of God is everywhere. So you may be in a situation, you're like, oh, Jesus, I don't know what's going to, there's power available. You can say, thank you, Jesus. I have the power here to deliver this situation or to get out of this situation. Same thing with protection. God's everywhere. There's not more protection out there. There's enough protection for your whole life wherever you go in the will of God. When you go do what God's telling you to do, there's power there for you. When I do chaplain, I don't go there and I don't have to pray for 15 hours and say, Lord, please be with me as I go to chaplain. The Lord is with me and I say, thank you, Lord, your power is in me. When I lay my hands on someone, they're going to receive healing. When I share the good news and the power of the gospel, it's going to change. It's going to deliver that person. It's not me. It's me just yielding to it. It's me breathing in the power and releasing it. And that's what we do with an altar. You come, we lay hands, we speak the name of Jesus, and we release it and watch what God does. It's not me, it's God. It's the power of God. I hope you're not here to listen to me. I hope you're here to hear from God. That's why you need to be at church, is to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. To receive what He has for you. So why was the power of the Lord present to heal? He was teaching. So teaching of the word, amen, releases power. Hallelujah. There's power being released right now. You may say, well, I don't feel anything, Pastor. I'm telling you right now, there's power working in this place, in your heart, in your mind, and in your body. Some of you may be getting healed and you don't even know it. You've been believing God for healing and the power of God. It's just going to click. And manifest itself. That's what God does. Mark 3, 14 and 15. Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. There's the thing. They went to preach, verse 15, and to have power to heal sickness and cast out demons. So here we go. Teaching and preaching, what does it do? You send it out, you release it, and sickness has to go, and demons have to go. They cast out demons. How did they do that? By the power of God. Power was released. When you this is why the power of God is so vital, because nothing can stop the power of God. And if the church gets a hold of this truth, revival is just going to go like wildfire. This is where it's at. When you realize you have the victory, you already have revival living in you, you're not waiting to find revival. You got it. By the power of God, you are a revivalist in Jesus' name. You just need to know it. You need to hear about it. And your faith pulls on it. Glory to God. Glory to God. So guess what? We have sin removed. We have sickness removed by the power of God. We have demons cast out. Mark 6, 7. You can just write these down. And He called the 12 to Himself and began to send them out by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. So what's an unclean spirit? Every spirit that's not clean. What's a clean spirit? The Holy Spirit. That's the only clean spirit is the Holy Spirit. If it is not funneled through or the root of it by the Holy Spirit, it's unclean. All right? And the Holy Spirit knows this, Jesus knows this, and the Father knows this. And when you know it, you won't allow unclean spirits to be around. You say, no, in Jesus' name I rebuke you. Get out of here. Why? Because you want the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, unclean ones have to go. They cannot. You have the power in the spiritual realm. Or you can be the other way and you say, well, I'm going to cater to this thing because it makes me feel good. Well, you're entering into a place of allowing familiar spirits and unclean spirits to be in your house and your home and your family and all that. Or you can make a decision and say, I don't want anything unholy in my life. Yeah. Out of here. You. Yeah. People have stuff on their walls. They have trinkets. They have this. They have this, this. They have everything. I'm not going to get into the list. But you enter into places that allow unclean spirits in. Even things that people have played before, like Ouija boards, unclean spirits. Oh, don't talk about that. I have that. Well, you make the decision. That's between you and the Lord. I can't tell you what to do and not do. I can just give you what Jesus says.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So unclean spirits, clean spirits. You decide what you want. And the Holy Spirit will convict you whether that's something you need to deal with or not. I am not here to convict you. I can't convict you. I'm not here to condemn you. I can't condemn you. You receive what the word of the Lord is, and you do according to what the word says in your heart. Because you have to apply the power yourself. See, Jesus sent them out, but they had to teach and preach about Jesus. He didn't just send them out. I can't just send you out. Okay, church is done. Leave. And then you not do anything with what you got. You have to do something with what you got to see the power operate.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's finish up here. So he sent the 12 out, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. When you have power over something, if you want it to go, it has to go. But if you want it to stay, you may still have power over it, and you don't know you have power over it, and it stays there, and it keeps affecting you. But when you know you have power, that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we teach the word of God and we're doing these foundation classes. So you know that you know. And once you know it, you make the decision and get it out. Amen. So it's good to know. Everybody say it's good to know. Amen. It's good to know the truth because the truth will set you free. Luke 4:36, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. So what did Jesus do? He commands them to come out, and they go out. Very simple. Once you see something is not of God, you deal with it, and it has to go. That's the power you have in you. That's the power you have in you. Power over darkness, Luke 10:17-20. Then the 70 returned. Everybody say 70. Why did I make you say that? Because everybody says, well, it's the original apostles that had the power to do this. It wasn't the original 70. 70 are disciples. Guess what you are? A disciple. So say, that's mine. Okay, one of you said it. I meant you to repeat. That's mine. Amen. That's mine. This is for you. It's not just for the 12 original, or it's not just for Jesus. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. It's his name that they're subject to. They're not subject to David. David has no power. They're subject to Jesus. But David has Jesus, so when I speak Jesus on my behalf, they have to go. See how this operates. See, many people in their flesh, they're trying to make their lives better. But it's with the power of God that you make your life better. Hallelujah. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That would have been a sight, wouldn't it? That's how quick demons can leave you when you speak the name of Jesus. Go on. Right into the pigs. Nothing against pigs, but that's what happened. He cast the demons out. They went right into it instantly. Instantly. Hallelujah. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over the power of the enemy. Who did he give authority to? Us, disciples. He gave you the authority to cast out demons. And over every power of the enemy. That's all power has been given to the church. There's nothing the enemy has power to do over you. Unless you relinquish your authority. When you know your authority, the enemy's like, I can't do anything with that guy. I can't even mess with his family, his home, his children. I can't touch him. Oh, he's a tither. I can't even touch his money. You totally, the enemy is in total discord and with zero power when you use the name of Jesus. as a child of God. He has zero power over you when you have Jesus. That's the significance of this authority, which is power. I give you the power to trample on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. I'm telling you, the enemy has power. It just said that. But he does not have power over the name of Jesus. That's why we need Jesus to get victory over the enemy. The world can't get victory because it doesn't know Jesus. See where I'm going here? There is power, and he has grip. He has his hand on many, many people's lives. The enemy does. And he has power over them. But once they get born again, they become a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. The power shifted for good. Amen. Amen. Light comes in, darkness goes. Man, bam, just like that, freedom comes. Sickness has to go just like that. In Jesus' name. That's the power we have, church. Power over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing. Say, well, I got this, this, and this. That's in the nothing category, okay? You just have to put it in the right category. Sickness, you got to put it in the right category. It's not yours. That's the category. It's out there. It's of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Same thing with sin. I don't have sin in my life. It's removed. Verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notice what Jesus is saying there. Just because you're casting out demons, the main thing is people's salvation. The main thing is what he's saying there is people's salvation. So it brings great joy to cast out demons, but then get the people saved. Amen. Get the people to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That way, they don't have to come to you to get something cast out. They can just speak to their own life and get it cast out. Notice the difference. How much victory? Think about an army. Think if there's an army of 1,000 people up here, but only one person knows how to shoot a gun, but they're all part of the army. You only have one gun going off. Not doing much, right? But when everybody knows their authority and they have the power in their own hand, you have 1,000 people with a gun, you do a lot more damage. Maybe a bad scenario, talking about guns and shooting, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. Amen? Okay. You have a construction crew and you have 6 bulldozers, but only one person has a key. Guess what? One bulldozer goes forward, the rest of them sit there, no power. They don't do anything. They actually do worse because they get in the way of the one that's working. Oh, I feel the anointing there. Don't be a in the way person. Be part of the army. Be part of the bulldozer crew, excuse me, that it has their own key that can run their own vessel and plow the ground in front of them and level out the mountains. That's what the authority of the power of God does. It allows you to push the mountain out into the sea, clear the ground, and build the life that God has for you. Amen. But people get they get offended and they're like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Well, they're just setting their key to the side and their bulldozer sitting. And then they get mad because the other person next to them's life's being changed. And they're just sitting there like this, fussing, mad, grumbling, complaining. And what do? Literally, grumbling, complaining, gossiping. What does that do? That's literally like you taking a chain or a cable, hooking your dead, unrunning bulldozer to the back of somebody else's. And you start pulling people to you because you want what they have, but you don't want to step into what God has for you. Amen. And people going forward, they feel things holding them back. And it's people mad at them. Man, you just go with God. Just go with God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Few scriptures here. There's resurrection power in you. This is all power that's given from heaven. Romans 8:11. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Everybody say, I got the spirit. Amen. You have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That means death has no power over you. So that tells me that when we physically die, we don't really die. You can't kill a believer. They're already dead. They gave their life to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. But if you live in the physical, you're worried about death. But when you live in the spiritual, you're like, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm going to a place where the streets are gold, where there is no sin, and life is good, and everything's provided for me. I have no care, concern in the world. There's nothing there to harm me. Hallelujah. That's the resurrection power that lives in you. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, why do you think it says if the spirit? Because you have to receive it. Amen. It's for those that believe in it, yeah. That receive it. Yeah. So there's some people that don't have the spirit that raised Christ from the dead. A non-believer does not have the spirit that raised Christ from the dead. But you, church, do. Yeah. So you can take this scripture and say, it's mine. Amen. Amen. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life or quicken, make alive your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit gives you power in your physical body. Amen. When God shows up, things change. Things change. Promises of power. Luke 24, verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So notice, sin was removed out of the way, but what I want you to see is verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of the Father. Promise of power that's already been made available. See, we're living in this scripture now. The promise has been sent. The power has been sent if you receive it. But watch this word here. Watch this word. My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. If you have your Bible, that word endued is a lot bigger than what you think. That word endued really means clothed. That means totally covered with power. You're clothed with power from on high. So, we are in Sellersville, Maryland, and there's a promise that's available for you that will clothe you with power. You are here at a place to be clothed with power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every head bow, every eye closed. This is where it's at, church. This is what it was leading up to. You may have power in certain areas. If you could play some music. You may have power in certain areas. But the Lord's going to change that today. As we are here in Sellersville, Maryland, all those listening online, wherever you are, close your eyes, bow your head, and close your eyes, and receive the garment that God has made for you. Receive the clothing that He wants to wrap you in, hold you in, protect you in. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause you to live a life of freedom, a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The enemy has no power, no matter what the weather is outside. You are clothed with power on the inside. You may be wrestling and fighting with physical things, ailments, weakness. Maybe you're fighting with this man named Jesus Christ that I've been talking about today. The giver of this power. If you're listening online and you've never accepted Jesus, God's going to do a work in your heart, in your life right now. Just like power is like oxygen, Jesus is everywhere. He's going right through the broadcast, right into your home, through your radio, through your TV. And His Spirit is right there in the room with you. He wants to clothe you with His power. He wants to transform your life. He wants you to never be the same again. If you've been wrestling with your salvation, or you've never asked Jesus into your heart, now's the time. Now's the time. There's great power available for you. And the first thing that's going to happen is, as you receive Him, sin is going to leave your life and the peace of God is going to fill that area. In Jesus' name. It's a decision to allow Jesus in. It's not really a prayer, it's really a confession. And it can sound different for each person. You can just say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I love you. I don't understand all this kind of spiritual stuff, but my heart wants you. I desire a relationship with you. And just ask Him to come into your heart. Come into your life. Remove the sin. Jesus died over 2,000 years ago to pay the price for your sin. And when you receive Him, you release sin. You're not going to be the same again. You become a child of God. You enter the family of God. And you're clothed with righteousness, peace, and joy. If you confess that, I want you to reach out to us. If there's anyone here that has never asked Jesus into their heart and made that confession right now, I just want you to lift your hand where you are. Hallelujah. God is good. Jesus loves you. And He's coming back again for you. But till He does, you can be endued with power from on high. You can be clothed with the power of God. Earlier in the service, I mentioned if there's anything in your life that seems weak or doesn't have power to it. Maybe there's an area that there's fear. Ha ha. It's leaving this morning. It's leaving this morning. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. But if there's weakness in your life, I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. The Lord's going to touch you and transform your life. The power of God is going to enter your life and transform that situation. You may be believing for something or been believing for something. The Lord wants to touch it. He wants to clothe you with power. It's going to change your confession. It's going to change your life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I will say thank you to those listening online. We love you. Be blessed. Reach out. We're praying for you. But those that are here, power has been made available. And it's present. It's present. You can come forward. I'll lay hands on you. I'll release the power of God. Ha! The kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no shame in coming up. I'm telling you right now. The more I learn about God, the more I want to come to His altar and spend time with Him. The closer I get to God, the closer I want to get to God. The hungrier I get for God, the more I want to feed on God. The more joy I get in God, the more joy I want. Everything that God offers, I want more of. I'm desperate. Not desperate in a fear way, desperate in a hungry way. Desperate for God, wanting more of God. Hallelujah. God's going to touch your life. God's going to touch it. Because what happens is, by coming forward, you're releasing your faith to receive. So you're saying, Lord, I need you in this area. And God's saying, I see you. Here's power. Here's the power you need. So everyone that's up here, I want you to just know something. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Just receive it. And do exactly what He tells you to do. Because there may be something He tells you to adjust. And the reason He's telling you to adjust is for that power to manifest. That's the main reason we get the power of God, is to change something in our lives, to get more blessing in our lives, to get free from something. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. The Lord's just going to enter and do what He does best. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive all He has. All He has is yours. Clothed in Jesus' name. Clothed in Jesus' name. Clothed. He knows what you have need of. He knows, even if you're sitting out there and you're not sure, God knows what you have need of. God knows what you have need of. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. Jesus. It's that easy. Just receive. Just receive. You came up here to get something. It's the power of God. In Jesus' name, the power of God. In Jesus' name. Working all things out. Now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Out of your belly. That's where it comes from. Filled to overflowing. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Details. God says, I know the details. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Let's surrender to the Lord. In Jesus' name. There it is. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Receptivity. Hallelujah. Clothe Him with power. Hallelujah. Nothing to do with the world. Just you and God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the enemy's grip in Jesus' name. Break it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. It's all in Him. Jesus. All of it's on the altar. Lies gone in Jesus' name. Healing come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Your touch. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Shamababakodisha. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Freedom. 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 In Jesus' name. It's not all on you, the Lord would say. It's not all on you. Ha. Fool. Put it on Him. Receive the freedom. Receive His grace. Receive His favor, His joy, His peace. The power of God.
now.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Continue, continue, continue. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, 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 yes. He's working it out. He's working it all out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. God's not done. God is not done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love you, brother. I just want to pray with you. Is that all right? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this man. Thank you for a blessing upon his life, strength, and peace. In Jesus' name. Blessing, 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 blessing. The power of God is so real, so tangible. Whew. Yeah. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Not in your own power, not in your own will, but rest on Him. Rest in Him. Listen, I'm telling every area, I'm speaking to even the leadership of the church, this church. Joy and peace. No, it's not about tasks. It's not about the detail. Yeah, got to work the details out. Got to work the details out. Got to work every detail out. Got to work your finances out. He'll work it all out. He's working all things out for good to those who believe. Ha, that's our God. No heaviness in Jesus. This week is a free week. I'm not saying, go to work. I'm not saying it's that free. But spiritually, it's free. Be free. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let a merry heart be your medicine. Hallelujah. It's not duty. God's not a God of duty. He's a God of love. He's a God of love and peace. His yoke is easy. It's not heavy. If something is heavy, you need to take that yoke off. If someone feels heavy in here, the Lord's speaking to you, I want you to come forward. Because you're carrying something you shouldn't carry. You're carrying something you shouldn't carry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see. If nobody comes up, that's fine with me. I'm just releasing what the Lord says. You may have just took the yoke off right in your seat. That's fine. Just get the yoke off. That's all I'm concerned about. Just get your healing. That's all I'm concerned about. I don't worry about if people fall out or stand up or shake or laugh or cry or that kind of stuff. That's a manifestation. I'm not worried about the manifestation. I'm concerned about the change and what the Lord is doing. I'm concerned about the healing. What the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every day. But this is just a great day. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we're going to leave here changed, transformed, set free, full of power. Hallelujah. You are. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. 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 It is the power of God unto salvation. The good news of Jesus Christ. Be blessed, church. Oh, yes. There's an offering. Yes. Ushers. If you could come forward, I didn't mention the offering. I'll give people a couple of seconds here. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Just wait. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give as you purpose in your heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Cheerful. Cheerful. It's good to give the offering at the end. That way we get the fear and the worry and everything off of people, and then they can be cheerful. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a great day. And it's a great day because it's a godly day. It's not a great day because I'm not even going to say it because I went the whole service without talking about it. So I'm not going to talk about it now. That game. Amen. God gives you the power to get wealth. It's in your hands. It's in your mouth. That is faith, man. I have power to get wealth. I have power through God for all my needs to be met. Thank you, Lord, that all my needs are met. All my bills are paid. My freezer's full. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. There's power available that is working on my behalf. Hallelujah. To bring things into my life. Hallelujah. And as we sow this morning, or this afternoon, whatever it is, as we sow, put your faith with your seed and believe for a harvest. Amen. In Jesus' name. Ushers, serve the people. Thank you. Oh, God is good. Oh, the Lord is good. Yeah, I guess online's off, so that won't help them, but that'll help you guys. Amen. See, church doesn't have to be perfect. We just got to worship the perfect one. Amen. We're all imperfect people, but we know the perfect one. Amen. Thank you, guys. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for the offering and the tithe and the faithfulness of your people, Lord God, to just release the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you for many lives changed through New Freedom Church and through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, have a great day. We'll see you back tonight. God bless you.